Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now. Productions, one of the few black-owned radio stations that discusses solutions for the black community. Yes, there are many other black programs out there, and I'm not saying they're not doing a good job or anything like that, but very, very, very few discuss actual solution for our people across this nation. This is We Talk Productions, presenting Black Urban America. I know a lot of you listen by laptop and computer, but if you want to join us this evening in this conversation, please dial 516-531-9540. The number again is 516-531-9540. And press 1 to join the conversation. And we had a beautiful month of conversation with Ms. Boyd for ADOS, Gregory Ruffin, the economic expert, Dr. Clark last week, and this week we have another honorable guest. Now, announcement, breaking news. We Talk Production, breaking news. We have a new host joining us. He was a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago. He blew me out the window. I said, you know what? I'm going to ask him. Have his show. Now, starting the first Monday, December, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, all at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will have a We Talk production experience. 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we nationwide on Monday. You know, Gregory Ruffin, you don't have a name yet. On Tuesday, we have myself with Black Urban America. On Wednesday, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne Williams, who always come on my show. I'll be having all the guests all around the country. And Thursday, we have The Port of Harlem, which is a very informative show. He deal with the globalization that affect black folks across the world. See, I just do nationally. He deals with it on an international basis. And Saturday, my co-owner, Carlton Steve, with Provocative Thought. Now, next week, I have another announcement. Next week, on election night, after the fall, on my show, night on Tuesday night, all the hosts are coming to the station. Right here, all the hosts, next Tuesday. We're having a round table. We're not going to have guests, but we're going to have hosts, all the hosts, discussing the election that night. That's right, next Tuesday, a round table. And I'm looking forward to that because a couple of hosts haven't even met each other. So it'll be the first time we all on the mic, and I can't wait. Now, how you ever feel stuck? How you ever feel down? Like in a rut? And like you set goals and you can't reach them. You set objectives. You even set strategies. And it appears that you have a hard time getting out this rut. Well, tonight, I am in honor to have this lady, this young lady, to come on the show. She's a licensed clinical social worker, and also she is a neuroscience coach. I'm going to have her go in a little bit, make sure you use some of the philosophies and those sciences and her approaches when it comes to the psychological makeup of us. And she going to talk about how to get unstuck and become unstoppable. And also, she have her own social media platform. She's going to talk about that for a few minutes. Tonight, I welcome Ms. Renita Weaver. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so, so much for having me on your show. I'm so delighted to be here.
Welcome. I'm glad that you were able to join us. And like I tell all the guests, you know, it's just a conversation of how to address our issues. We already know what the issues are. Now we got to develop. We got to be more doers than complainers. Now, with that said, tell me a little bit about your social media platform, Ms. Weaver.
Okay. So, hey, everybody out there that's listening, and thank you for your time tonight as you're listening on how to get unstuck and be unstoppable in your life. First, let me tell you a little bit about myself. You are absolutely right. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I'm licensed in Maryland and D.C. I've been practicing social work for about 20 years. I've spent the last decade doing addictions work for the military, and I also have a private practice. I have a private practice where I provide clinical social work and coaching. That's right, life coaching.
Let me stop you for a minute. You brought up something. I know this will have nothing to do with the topic of the show, but you see, I have a lot of men and women in my family on my mother's side that fought in the war ever since World War One. Maybe before that, but they only can remember World War One. World War One, World War Two. Korea, Big Bad Vietnam, and Baghdad, and Afghanistan. I had cousins and relatives that matter of fact, one of my cousins was the first black lieutenant, first black woman, lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. So, like, that's how, I mean, I'm not in the military. Matter of fact, I can't even. You know, like, I can't see it, me going to the military. But I was a little boy. And all those Vietnam vets came home, strung out on that hair on. Now what they use. I mean, every time, before the Vietnam War, my mother told me a story about her brother that fought in World War II. God rest his soul. He drank a fifth of liquor every day for 3 months when he came home.
What is about the drug?
And you can't believe the movies or the TV shows that glorify war. And to me, wars are just a part of colonialism. And you're trying to take somebody land or resources and use it for yourself. You know, what is it about the dramatization that these vets experience in war where they come home with addictive behavior?
Well, you know, I say this all the time, that people come home from the war with what's called post-traumatic stress disorder.
Something
out of the norm. For people who don't know exactly what that is, it means that there was an event that happened in your life that was beyond your ability or your threshold to deal with that, right? And I always say, you know, people always find out that when they find out that I work for the military, they say, I bet you deal with a lot of PTSD. And they say, from the war. And I say, yes, but actually it's not from that war you're talking about. It's from the war that a lot of people experienced in their childhood before they even joined the military, right? It's that internal war that never got addressed.
I'm going to ask you another question. You brought up PTSD. There are scholars that say that there are black communities in this country that suffer from PTSD. What do you think about that statement?
I think that is a correct statement. I think, you know, in our community, so PTSD comes from experiencing a traumatic event. And if you think about communities of color, you know, whether no matter what your financial status is, the community of color has a lot of traumatic events that we face as a community, as a people. And that trauma started, if you really want to go deep with it, it's called epigenetic trauma, right? And what that means is we've been carrying the trauma that has been passed down through generations of people, right? And you're talking about from the transatlantic slave trade, right? How our ancestors were enslaved people, and because of that enslavement, and they had to survive those conditions they were in, it changed their cell makeup. Their cellular makeup was changed. They became more hypervigilant, more, you know, they became in a they started living in a survival mode, and that got passed down through the generations. So, you know, a lot of people say, why are we such, you know, why are black people so angry? Why are they so, you know, why do they want to fight all the time? But, you know, a lot of that, I believe, is because, you know, our cellular makeup is one to survive, and that's how we learn to survive, you know? So I fully believe what you said, you know, PTSD, it may come, you know, symptoms may start to appear because of the war that people go to in the military. But a lot of time we're carrying stuff and it just looks like it's aggressive behavior or, you know, we're angry all the time or whatever. But those are symptoms too.
Yeah, and you want to know some, and the black community has been at war for 452 years. Let's put it where it is. We've been at war, you know, psychological, emotional. We losing our family structure. I was just talking to someone today about the black family. Where has it gone? You know, so what is neuroscience?
Even our spirituality.
I mean, you got, and let me tell you something, I don't care what people say about the different, we all come from different religious sects. I don't care what you say about it. It used to be a time where our religious, so-called religious leaders used to be out front, ready, loaded. Locked and loaded, to use the military expression, locked and loaded and ready to go. You know, and now they are disappearing. So what is neuroscience?
So neuroscience is the study of the brain and the nervous system and how they function together, right? And so when you think about neuroscience, really neuroscience it informs everything about us. If you want to know about yourself or another person, you can really, you know, get down to if you start studying their thoughts, their actions, their beliefs, their lifestyle, it all plays a role in how our brain and our nervous system functions. So, you know, in my practice, I don't just, you know, I consider myself a holistic therapist, so I don't just deal with the presenting problem or what somebody.
Explain holistic.
You said explain holistic. Yeah, holistic is really studying the inner makeup of a person, right? Instead of just dealing with what somebody walks into my office with. They may have a certain complaint that they walk into my office with, but I'm asking them about everything that they may not think has to deal with that issue. You know, I'm asking them about their lifestyle, their health, their spirituality, their relationship. You know, are you happy, right? So holistic means that you're not just looking through, you're not just looking at a person from one lens. You're not just looking at the problem that walks in your office. You're looking at the whole lifestyle of a person and, you know, coming up with some things that may be beneficial for that person to change in order to achieve the lifestyle that they want to live.
So you do integrate the philosophy of neuroscience into your holistic approach with dealing with the individual.
I do, and also I want to add that I add metaphysics in there. So I took a doctorate metaphysics program. It's not a regular PhD like you would go to a college or university or institution to get, but basically metaphysics is the study of energy and matter. The energy and matter that I studied was my energy and my matter, right? I went into this deep self-study, self-reflective period, and that's what I help people to do. When I say I integrate neuroscience and metaphysics into my practice, that's what I mean. I help to go inside, self-reflect, and do their inner work, because a lot of the symptoms that people present with in their adulthood, I work with adults, but a lot of the symptoms that they walk into my office with stem from things that happened in their childhood. So we do a lot of self-reflecting and going inside and picking out things from the root so that they won't, those patterns won't continue. And so that they can feel free.
So when you're trying to get the person to self-reflect, what are some of the strategies or techniques that you use to get that individual to do self-reflection on oneself?
So there's this wonderful, wonderful therapy called internal family systems therapy, and that is a model that I have fallen in love with because it basically talks about how we all have different parts of us. And, you know, before when we talked about having different parts of us or different personalities, you know, that was labeled as bad or wrong, but actually, you know, IFS is a very freeing model, internal family systems, I call it IFS. It's very freeing because it says that we all have these protective parts of us that sometimes cause us to act in extreme ways, but those protective parts of us are there to keep us safe. And if we can get in touch with those extreme protective parts, perhaps we can get them out of the role of being so extreme and, you know, relaxing a little bit so that our true self, our true nature can appear. We can live in our true self. See, a lot of us aren't really living in our authentic self because there are protective parts that we all have that have, you know, appeared and they block us from shining our light for whatever reason. So when I meet with people, you know, we get to befriend, we get to know those protective parts and know why they came in our life, what their role is, and what their fears are. And we talk to those parts of ourselves. And then, you know, by having that conversation, we can find out, is it okay for you to have a new role? And what does that mean, right? A lot of times our parts are tired of living in a certain role. They're tired of being extreme, but they feel like they need to protect us. So if we can talk to those parts of ourselves and help them relax a little bit, we can live in our authentic nature.
What is being stuck? What does that mean?
So being stuck to me and to the way I explain it is you have this pattern of behavior, this cycle of behavior that you feel like you can't get out of, and it's not allowing you to live your best life, right? You want to be here, but you don't. You want to get from where you are right now to where you want to go. You can see it, but you don't know how to get there. You just feel like there's something standing in the way. There's a barrier, a hurdle. There's something standing in the way of you getting from where you are now to where you want to be.
And what are some, I'm going to ask you the question, I'm going to turn it over to me, Sean.
No worries.
These patterns of behavior, they're negative, right? So what's some of the patterns? Yeah. What are some of the parents' behavior that could prevent one of moving forward?
When I first started and I'm going to answer your question, but I want to say this about negative and positive, because when I first started in the field of social work, I did used to use language like negative and positive, and I don't use it anymore because I want to convey to people that all of our behavior is for a reason. It's for a purpose. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's all positive. And that's why I said it might be extreme, right? Because when I say it might be extreme, there might be a certain way that we're acting in order to get our needs met that are really not serving us as well as some other behavior could serve us. So I don't really want to say negative, but I do want to say that there are some things, some patterns that we have that might not be serving us well. And maybe there's another way to get to what we want, right? For example, it could be like I keep getting in the same type of relationship no matter what they look like, or, you know, their appearance could look different, their face could look different, their name could be different, right? They could live in a different area, but they, at the end of the day, all my relationships tend to be the same, right? They're the same person with just a different face and a different name. Or I keep attracting some type of limitation in my life, financial limitations. I get money, and I can't seem to keep money. I'm always broke. I don't know why. I have money, and then I lose it, right? Or I have a job.
I don't want to use the word negative, but that's a serious behavior, pattern of behavior.
It is. But let me tell you, until that thing is dealt with at the root, see, there's a root cause to all of our behavior, and even those behaviors that aren't serving us well. Now, if something is serving you well, that's not a problem or a challenge in your life. But if you feel stuck, right? If you are somewhere in your life and you see where you want to go, but you have a barrier, a hurdle to get there, then there's something at the root that is keeping you from getting there, and that's where the cycles of behavior come, whether it's financial behavior, whether it's toxic relationships, whether it's, you know, I can't get to where I want to on my job or my career, or even if you're an entrepreneur, like I just can't seem to launch this business. I've been thinking about it for a long, long time, and I can't seem to get off of start, right? Or you have a lot of starts and stops. If you have cycles in your life that aren't serving you and aren't allowing you to grow to where you want to be, then that is where, you know, we do that internal family systems work. I have a lot of models that I use. I'm just naming that one. There's brain spotting. There's EMDR, which are they use eye movements to connect to certain parts of the brain. But all of the therapies that I'm talking about, their purpose is to get in touch with that subconscious brain. And when I talk about subconscious brain, that's the part of the brain that houses a lot of memories that we don't really remember, but our brain and our body doesn't forget. So when we could connect to those parts that are housed in our brain that we don't really consciously remember, when we can connect to those memories, those thoughts, and those feelings that are stored in the brain and are causing us to behave in certain ways, when we can get to that, that's where we get to the root, and we can start to reprogram that. Because all our brain is a supercomputer. We put information in, and we already program it with what to do, and then we start doing things based off of that programming. We think we're in charge, but it's really the brain that's already programmed, and it tells us what to do and how to feel and everything.
Hey, you want to know something? Well, you know, our brains might be the supercomputer, but there are some of us that are not using our computers, our God-gift computers. Michonne, I know you have a couple of questions.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm great. Well, my first question is about epigenetics.
Yes.
So can a person inherit memories?
Right. I believe that is past. I believe everything inside of our body, our DNA, our memories and all of that can be passed down. And then when I say memories can be passed down, it could be that memory of I need to be in this survival state. So when you have offspring, they might not be as relaxed as somebody else. They might always be on edge, on guard, right? And that's how we pass down memories. But that can change. I want you to know that no matter what runs in our family, it can definitely change with us. It just comes down to having that knowledge and the intention to change something that has been a pattern that isn't serving us well, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yes, it does. What is the difference between metaphysical and spiritual?
So metaphysics tells us, I don't know if there's a difference between metaphysical and spiritual. There may be a difference between metaphysics, spirituality, and religion. So metaphysics is the study of God, and metaphysics believes that we all have God within us, right? And spirituality helps us to get in touch with the God in us or our higher self. Religion, to me, is just the way that you practice your spiritual belief.
Okay. Another one. What are, like, typical issues in metaphysics? Basic issues?
When I think about a typical issue in metaphysics, think that the typical issue for a lot of people is that it is the separation between God and man. I think a lot of people don't see, aren't in touch with their higher self, and so they lose their power. And so metaphysics, to me, helps people get in touch with who they really are and helps people restore their power.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Ms. Weaver. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Okay. What would you say to an individual that comes to you and he's stuck, he can't get promotion, he just got issues all over the place. You know, can't use good or bad. That's like using positive and negative. And have a challenging relationship with his wife or girlfriend, whatever. And don't have the best of relationship with his kid. You know, his life is just in a rut.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the first thing you will do with this individual?
Mm-hmm. The first thing I would do with that individual is to encourage them to not worry about the job, not worry about the relationship, not worry about the family. The first thing that I would ask that person to do is let's talk about you and your relationship with yourself, right?
Because you know, a lot of people don't know how to talk about themselves. A lot of people have difficulty to talk about themselves.
That is true. That's why, you know, we start with a safe environment and we go slow, right? Now, people want that microwave instant change. It's like, fix me. You're the doctor, fix me, right? And I say right away, I don't care what letters I have in front of my name or behind my name. You are the expert on you. I am simply a facilitator to help you get in touch with your inner voice, because what happens is throughout life, you know, we're all born with a sense of self, but we learn throughout life. You know, we start to get programmed right from the beginning with our mama's fears, our daddy's fears, and it just goes on and on from our friends and society and all of that stuff. So we get programmed with a lot of stuff, and we lose ourselves. We lose our ability to trust ourselves, to hear our voice, all of that. So when somebody comes into my office, they don't, you know, when they start talking to me, I'm like, whose voice is that? Is that your voice or somebody else's voice? Who said that to you? Why do you believe that, right? So, you know, we go slow. We go slow and safe, right? Because it is true. A lot of people don't know what their inner thoughts are, don't know what their inner feelings are. And so there's a lot of training that goes on to put our thoughts on trial, so to speak. You know, we look at the thought and we pick it apart. Is it true or is this just something I've been programmed with that isn't serving me, right? And even if it is true, how can we look at it and deal with it in a way where I can be in control of my emotions around it? Because a lot of times when people are, you know, coming to me, there are some things that just can't change. They won't change. There are some facts that are very, very, you know, life is life. I will say that. Life is life. Outside life is life. People are people. And the only thing we can really control at the end of the day is ourselves. We can't control the people we're in relationships with, and we can't really control life, right? We can't stop it from happening. But what we can do is help ourselves to respond in a manner that is serving us. And I will always say that, how is our behavior, how is our response serving us? Because at the end of the day, that's what we want to be in control of, is our inner self, no matter what's happening outside of us.
You bring up something I want to ask you. How important, how connected are our thoughts to our inner self or inner soul?
Oh, wow. There's really no separation, right? Our thoughts are basically a manifestation of what's going on in our subconscious brain, right? So what I mean by that is there's three parts of the brain. There's we have the slow brain, the fast brain, and the survival brain. So the slow brain is that front of our brain where we can think about things. Things happen and we kind of think them through and we respond. But that fast brain, that's our impulsive brain in the middle, and we just react to things. And then that survival brain is, it gets activated by whatever is going on in that midbrain. But
so
Yeah, so we can respond. What I teach through neuroscience is to help people respond instead of react. I, you know, help people get out of that midbrain and that survival brain. You know, help people get out of that cycle and be able to get into their higher brain, their higher thinking brain, and respond. And that's why things like practicing mindfulness, yoga, positive affirmations, they help build up our ability to respond instead of reacting.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Sean.
Okay. My question is, okay, what are your thoughts on disconnecting for a while?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to disconnect and go inside, right? And what I mean by that is whether it's disconnecting from social media or, you know, just spending time. So I will say this. I know there's a saying, it's not good for man to be alone, and it's not good to isolate. So when I say disconnecting, it's not the same as being alone or isolating. It's just saying taking a pause for the cause, and the cause is you. Taking some time out to get in touch with yourself, your thoughts, right? And being able to recharge your batteries without the influence of any outside people, place, or thing, right? Just spending time with yourself so you can hear from your higher self, the God within you. So I like disconnecting. I think it's fine. I think even in a relationship, right, or if you're a parent, it's still time, it's still necessary for you to spend time to yourself so that you can hear your inner voice.
How common is fear of failure?
That's very common. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm laughing because I heard your question, but I was thinking fear of success, right? Which
right.
It's common to have both, right? Fear of failure and fear of success. I would say that we all have both. You know, even people who really, really want to be successful, it can be very scary because success comes with some losses along the way. And you're talking about, you know, losses of relationships or losses of the familiarity. So I think fear of success is real. And, of course, fear of failure. You know, we're programmed with a lot of fears. And we're programmed to believe that we can't achieve what we dream of. But I would say that given the right environment, you really can, there is no failure. You really can achieve what you want to in this life.
Yeah, Ms. Weaver, in your assessment of the Black community, what are some of the most patterns of behavior
mm-hmm.
that keep us stuck where we are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say number one is believing that somebody holds the keys to our experiences in life, that somebody else holds those and that we don't have the power that we have. You know, as a Black community, as a Black culture, We're talking about epigenetic. Well, there was royalty in our DNA. There is royalty in our DNA. And I think we forget that a lot of times. And
some people don't forget.
There
are many Black folks in the United States feel that our history starts as slavery.
Mm.
They don't know about the thousands and thousands and thousands of years and millions of years on the homeland of the dark continent called Africa.
That's true.
They can't even have that type of talk about thoughts. They can't even start thinking about how, wow, you know, we have a history beyond slavery. So they really don't know how much royalty that's flowing through our blood.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true. And for some people, that it still might be a disconnect to really go back and say, well, our ancestors were royalty, right? So maybe it has to start with, you know, I believe in our history, and I believe that's important. But for somebody who can't connect to that, you know, I think there are people in our community that they can connect with right now. I think, you know, I don't like the media sometimes because there's not enough focus on what's really going on as far as, you know, people in our community being successful and doing positive things and stuff. And so we get programmed
all over the country,
a lot of times.
All over the country.
Yeah.
You know, people, I mean, it's another thing they don't do is like really point out all the sciences and inventions that black men and women have, but they just weren't patented. Their invention was stolen and called something else, or they don't give a few hundred dollars for the invention, and they just took it and ran with it. So we are responsible for a lot of, lifestyles, inventions and civilization,
yeah,
and structure and what have you. So yes, mass media is really, really portraying us in a light that we should not be portrayed in.
But that's why I appreciate your show. I think you have a lot of power in your voice, you know, you and your host, and I think your show is wonderful to get those kind of messages out to our community. And
yes,
I'm really, really honored to be a guest on your show because I'm hoping that our community can start seeing therapy as a way to elevate and not to incarcerate, not lumping it in with, oh, you're in trouble or you have these problems, so you need to go to therapy. No, therapy is so much more. Therapy can help you get your entire life that has been snatched from you and give it back to you so you can live free. And everybody who comes to me knows that I tell them up front, my job is to get you to fire me, right? I want to be so successful that you feel like you don't need to come in here. Now, if you want to continue to come see, you know, continue to be in this space, I welcome that. But I don't want you to feel like you can't fire me, right? So.
Yeah. Hey, you want to know? Okay, just a two-part question. I'm going to turn it back over to Michonne. Why was therapy painted as evil in our communities, especially among black? Because, like,
well,
oh, I ain't going to see that therapist, man. Forget her or him.
Well,
it's mostly her.
Yeah. So, great question. I believe it's because a lot of the philosophies, a lot of the approaches to therapy did not come from our culture, and you know, when you talk about diagnosis,
question, you do my go ahead. I was going to ask you, with all these black psychiatrists and psychologists and whatnot, how come we cannot start developing models and techniques that addresses alcohol? We are a different culture from everyone else.
I think we are headed there because I think the view about therapy was the mistrust of the medical system, and a lot of therapies had labels on them to describe our behaviors, right? And that's why I'm trying to take that negative, I'm trying to take the labels off and just say all behavior is for a purpose, right? And some of it may not be serving us in a way to help us live our best life. So let's see how we can behave in a different way. But I don't want to call it negative. I don't want to label it. I don't like diagnosing people. That's why I don't take insurance, right? Because I don't want somebody telling me that I have to label somebody with a diagnosis. So, you know, that's just my personal preference.
Like,
there are,
you know, some diagnoses are in style. In the 90s, it was attention ADHD. That was the disorder of the decade. And now the bipolar came in 2000.
Yeah.
And every other person had bipolar disorder.
Yeah. So,
you know, I've been out of the reading for a while. What's the phase now? You know, of course, you know, I mean, the 90s and the 80s, they were pumping these young black boys with a lot of rhythm.
Yep, I'm telling you. So, you know, as far as models being developed by us, I think we are starting to move in that direction where we're developing models. I know that is why I have so many certifications and so many things. But if you look at the certifications I have, it's always trying to understand the inner man, you know, brain spotting, EMDR, even bariatric science, just trying to find out what's behind, you know, what's underneath our weight that the weight loss industry isn't telling us. You're right. So, you know, a lot of the metaphysics, none of that was necessary. None of that was mandatory for me to get. I already had my social work license. I could have just hung a shingle in my window and started doing this work. But I really wanted to find out what could really heal people. What truly heals people? Because what I noticed in the earlier part of my career was that, you know, I wasn't really helping people. They would be okay in my office, and then they would go home and things would have the same pattern.
They got to return to their environment. And that's why I can't understand why you send one person in counseling, but you don't do the family counseling. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You straighten out the kid, but you still got them parents.
I think with addictions counseling and grief counseling, I use a family model. I really do. You know, families don't always want to participate, but I encourage families to grow together because the family system model is true. It's like when one element in that system changes, it really changes the whole system. So we really do want to talk to the whole family. And so it's best when that can happen, but it doesn't always happen. And even if a person is going back in their same environment, you know, I want to encourage somebody who does go back in that same environment that you want to make sure the environment inside of you changes. That's really what we want to focus on, is changing that environment inside of you. And once that changes, even if you're going back in that same environment, it won't be the same. You won't experience it the same.
And hopefully you will respond to different situations differently than how you was reacting before. Go ahead, Michelle.
Absolutely.
Okay. How can a person let go of bad memories?
You know, so the work I do, I always tell people that I'm not going to erase your memories, but what I hope will happen in the process of therapy is that you will be able to release those memories, not erase, but release them, let them go. Let go of the way that those memories are impacting you, right?
Because that's a lot of bad energy, right? That's negative energy.
Yeah,
a lot of
memories, you know, memories keep a lot of people from being able to be at peace, from being able to sleep at night. So I do, you know,
you
one way. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you encourage forgiveness, or how do you do that?
I encourage people to work through the journey of forgiveness. I let people know that although we hear that forgiveness is good for the soul, and I firmly believe that forgiveness is, at the end of the day, is a choice. You can choose to forgive or not to forgive. Now, before you make that choice, there is...
Black folks is forgiving people by nature. We always for being road forgiven and still doesn't work out for us.
So
I think white people,
all the time.
White people,
we always forget
but not
about
black
anything.
People as much.
I don't know if that's true forgiveness, right? I think we give people a lot of passes, but I don't know if we truly forgive because there's a process through forgiveness, and forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciling the relationship, right? Forgiveness is a choice that you're not going to allow what somebody did to you to continue to keep you up at night, to continue to make you lose your peace. So you're going to let go of that anchor. But it doesn't mean that that person has to continue to be in your life. It doesn't mean that you have to restore the relationship, right? It doesn't mean that you're giving them a pass. Right. So I think sometimes we give people a pass, but that's not true forgiveness because we still have sometimes we have some resentment about it. So, you know, the act of forgiveness is choosing to let go of the anger, the resentment and all of that, choosing to let it go. Right. Choosing not to let it play over and over again in our mind and our heart. But it does not mean that what somebody did was okay. It doesn't mean that you have to forget and forgive and all of that stuff.
Now, my last question to you. If Michelle don't have any more questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. You dusted this person off, you know, you got him to explore his thoughts and his lifestyle and his pattern of thinking and he got in touch with his inner soul and what have you. Okay, how can the person become unstoppable now?
Haha, that's the whole secret. Once someone is able to pull out the root of whatever is standing in their way, that will lead to emotional freedom, and that will help them to fly. And the definition of becoming unstoppable is whatever the person's definition is. Comparison, we don't want to compare ourselves to anyone else, right? Because that's the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. We don't want to do that. We just want to know what we were born to do, and sometimes we don't know what we're born to do because everybody's been telling us what we should be doing. So through the process of getting inside and hearing your own voice, you can start to know what your purpose is, and then you can start to walk in it. That's how you become unstoppable. That is really how you become unstoppable, is by getting in touch with your inner self, making peace with your parts, forgiving yourself for whatever you're holding against yourself, and getting free. Once you're emotionally free, that's how you become unstoppable.
So you're saying that a lot of emotions keep us stuck where we are, because we don't know how to re-channel our energy or emotional energy?
Yeah. Let me tell you, when you asked about can a person get over memories, it's those memories that keep us stuck. We remember, so it's not the events, it's the emotions that matter most, right? Because we forget what happened, but we never forget how it felt. So anytime something in our life right now reminds us of anything from the past that was painful, we have a memory. Our brain has that check mark to say, oh, I know how to respond in this situation. This is about to bring me pain, so I'm about to react like this, right? For some of us, it's pushing against. It's fighting. For some of us, it's isolating. It's hiding, right? It's all different type of responses, but it's the emotions like you
said. Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay, do limiting beliefs start in childhood for most people?
I believe so. I believe limiting beliefs start from that third grade teacher that told you you weren't ever going to do X, Y, and Z or be good at X, Y, and Z. It can start in our friendships when they said, oh, that's a stupid idea, right? It can even start with our parents who just didn't know how to encourage us for whatever reason.
Or never encourage.
I think that Yep. So I really think that that limiting belief follows us throughout life. We can be, you know, a full-grown adult still living off of what we learned in our childhood.
Okay. Well, Ms. Weaver, this has been a wonderful conversation with you. Would you like to tell our audience how they can get in touch with you if they need any guidance or whatever?
For that opportunity. So I'm on all social media at Dr. Renetta. So it's DrRenetta. Or you can go to RenettaWeaver.com. That's my website. And I hope you do go to that and subscribe to my website, because I have a lot of wonderful things coming your way about getting unstuck and being unstoppable.
And so let me ask you something before we leave. We get ready to leave in about a minute.
Okay.
How is important for a person to be unstoppable? Do we all have the capability of being unstoppable?
You said how important is it?
Yes. And do we all have the capabilities?
We all have the capabilities. And, you know, I will say this. When I go to the grave site to see my father, I was just telling my mother this last. I always look around and wonder how many people went into that ground with their dreams buried inside of them, because, you know, they didn't live in their true purpose. So I think it's that important. I think it's a matter of life and death. You know, we're living in the dash right now. So you want, to me, I want to go to that grave empty, right? I want to live out all the gifts that God gave me to live while I'm here to do it. So, you know, that's just my belief. For a lot of people, they believe that too. They just don't know how to get there. So myself and a lot of other amazing people out here are here to help you to get unstuck.
Okay. Thank you again, Dr. Weaver, for coming on the show. And I sure like to invite you back in the future. I think what you have to offer is very splendid. And again, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you both. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate everything we talked about tonight.
Okay. Michonne, what's happening tomorrow night?
I have two guests. And they will be talking about the gray area, sexual consent 2020.
Okay, sexual consent. Ooh, that should be really, really wonderful. Sexual consent. You better get that consent. You be in jail, be a rapist. All right. That's all for the tonight, folks. I'm glad that y'all listen. And, yes, explore your inner soul, your inner self. Take inventory, you know. Because we all, in one way or another, this society loves to keep us stuck. And so we got to get unstuck, become unstoppable. As always,
hold it
I
now.
Am Buzz Yard. We are.